Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from both. Today we celebrate the Sunday of the Holy Trinity. The doctrine of the Holy Trinity is one of the greatest mysteries of the Christian faith that is revealed in Scripture. The doctrine of the Holy Trinity is totally unique to Christianity. It is not the invention of any theologian, but it is God's revelation of himself. It is that distinctive Christian teaching that God is three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in one divine being. Each person of the Godhead is separate and distinct from the other, meaning the Father is not the Son, nor is the Spirit the Father. And yet, mysteriously and collectively, the Father, Son, and Spirit all share one divine essence, so that we worship one God and not three gods. Though the actual term Trinity isn't found anywhere in the Scripture, what we mean as the church by that word is taught everywhere in Scripture. As far back as the opening pages of Genesis, we see glimpses of the Holy Trinity revealed in the Old Testament. For instance, when God confers within himself regarding the creation of Adam, he says, "Let us make man in our own image." And throughout the entire Old Testament, there are these other hints that there are multiple personalities within the Godhead. In the vision of Isaiah, for example, there is the appropriate threefold praise of God when the angels declare, "Holy, holy, holy," because it had been revealed already that God is three persons in one God. The doctrine of the Holy Trinity, then, is one of the great mysteries of our faith. It qualifies as a mystery because while it is the revelation of God to man, it is still logically hard for us to grasp. It's hard to get our hands around this teaching. For while the doctrine of the Trinity is very easy to express, anyone who has studied the Small Catechism can do it, it is impossible for us to ever fathom its depths or fully comprehend the uniqueness of our God. Now, some do not like this aspect of Christianity. There are modern people who would shy away from this kind of religious mystery. They think it makes God too hard to understand. And yet we must remember that it is not the church that has chosen to describe God in this way. This is who God is. And this is how God reveals himself to us in the Bible. Just stop and think about it. Doesn't it make sense that the infinite creator would be a little difficult to describe for his finite creatures? Would you really want a God who wasn't complex to be the author of such a complex universe? The Holy Trinity is a mystery because while Scripture intends for us to believe the doctrine of the Trinity and to proclaim it as the divine and saving truth, on the other hand, this doctrine somehow defies rational understanding, meaning we cannot adequately define God, nor should we be able to. Rather, we are to stand in awe of God, who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Among all of the false gods and all of the false religions that are being promoted out in our world today, it is only the triune God who so loved the world that he sent his only Son into the world to die for us and bring us to eternal life. Only the triune God used the cross, an instrument of torture, to bring salvation to his people. And only the Holy Spirit, that third person of the Trinity, works faith in our hearts through this gospel message, so that by believing in God's Son, you and I will not be condemned along with the rest of the world. That is what makes this doctrine so vitally important to Christianity and to our faith. Again, our puny minds are ill-equipped to explain or understand God. And so we are called to simply accept the great mystery that God has revealed himself to us as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three distinct persons, but only one divine being. Now, mathematically, it sounds absurd that God is three in one. It sounds as if we Christians worship three gods. And yet we worship only one true God, the God who made the heavens and the earth. And so, to a certain extent, God defies any kind of rationally satisfying explanation where we could neatly summarize God's existence. You see, the triune God doesn't ask us to comprehend everything that is about him. He only asks us to love everything about him, especially his saving actions on the cross. Now, up until the Enlightenment, people accepted such mysteries of faith based on faith. But beginning with the modern scientific era, man set about to eradicate everything mysterious, to solve every mystery by analyzing it, by categorizing it, by classifying it, until every mystery was given a scientific explanation. Who knows, perhaps man thought that if he could classify God into some kind of category, he could tame God. For if we can categorize God, we can control God instead of God controlling us. If this was the case, then we could explain God, then we would not have to listen to God explain things to us in his word. Without really ever stating that as its objective, science wanted to control reality to its own liking, to break free from the constraints of religion. And this would involve science and its attempt to debunk religion. In fact, the scientific era was in a hurry to do away with the supernatural, since otherwise science would always have been beholden to the Bible and its truth. And so in this new age of reason, the great mysteries of the Christian faith disappeared. They were discarded. They were done away with. Liberal theologians, following the new methods of science, began to offer purely naturalistic explanations to things like the creation of the world, to things like the great miracles recorded in Scripture. And even other miracles like the resurrection began to be denied altogether. You see, science was not comfortable with adoring the mysteries found in the Christian religion. Science was all about solving life's mysteries, not reverencing them. And so science was man's attempt to demystify everything, including God and religion. Now, this approach makes some sense if you are the product of the scientific revolution. For after the Enlightenment, man was beginning to understand his environment. He was beginning to bring order to his world. And many things that were once considered mysterious were now being figured out by the scientific method. Science was solving many of the mysteries of life, mysteries like how diseases are transmitted. Science solved the mystery of genetics and how traits are passed down from parent to offspring. Science solved the mystery of what causes the rainbow to appear in the sky and what lightning is and how it works. And so what happened in the last 300 years is the number of mysteries began to rapidly shrink as mystery after mystery now had a scientific frame of reference. And every mystery was in danger of losing its mystique, including the mysteries of the Christian faith. Now, we are children of the scientific age, whether we like to believe it or not, and we like the answers that science gives us. Because we can understand those things that were once considered mysteries, we feel like if we can give a scientific name to something, then we are one step closer to controlling it instead of it controlling us. Because if you can explain something scientifically, if you can remove the mysterious part of it, then you can stop fearing it. As an example, consider the aurora borealis, the northern lights. I suppose primitive man once looked upon those eerie, ghostly green lights that dance around in the northern sky and was terrified. But now we're no longer afraid of this phenomenon because we have a scientific explanation for it. We now know that the northern lights are the result of solar winds as they interact with the magnetic field of the Earth. This causes some of the particles to get trapped in the ionosphere. Where these particles collide, the gases in the ionosphere create these mysterious lights. And so in this case, modern scientific knowledge is a good thing. And yet, man has taken his need to explain everything scientifically way too far, as he has encroached into the area of God and religion. We are clearly wrong if we attempt to demystify God and the Christian faith, because there are things that God wants to remain mysteries. For God is well above us and beyond our grasp. God wants us to fear and reverence his awesome power and Godhead, instead of simply attempting to scientifically explain him away. And today, our celebration of the doctrine of the Holy Trinity is a testimony to that fact. For modern man, there are no mysteries anymore. Man lives with the modern assumption that every mystery is explainable using the scrutiny of science. Many of us live as if we had an answer for everything. In fact, many believe that any talk about sacred mysteries are for cavemen. That mysteries are the product of archaic, ancient, primitive cultures that did not enjoy our level of scientific sophistication. And so, the unfortunate result is that now we give mundane answers to the miraculous, the marvelous, the mysterious triune God. And yet, in our post-scientific world, man is slowly learning something, that not everything in life can be neatly categorized using human logic and the scientific method as we once thought. For after 300 years of the domination of the sciences, there are still things about this life and there are still things about the next life that do remain a mystery to us all. Science, for example, has not been able to solve the problem of death. Death and what lies beyond the grave, these are still a mystery, even to science. Science has not been able to solve man's inborn sense of guilt. Science cannot adequately explain why people continue to feel accountable to a creator for their moral behavior. The human conscience is still a mystery, even though we have dedicated a field of science called psychology to study it. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I believe science is a very valuable thing, as long as it remains in its domain. But clearly science has not done that, and clearly science does not have all the answers. For life and death still pose certain mysteries. And Christianity is full of mysteries that do not fit well under a microscope. For the great mysteries of our faith cannot be explained simply by naturalistic, rationalistic explanations. That is because God is big. He is bigger than our small minds. God's ways are both higher and holier than our ways. The Trinity is a mystery that cannot be explained like you would approach a math problem. For how could we scientifically justify the equation that God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit equal but one God? In the same way, baptism is a great mystery to our faith, in that God unites us in our baptism to Jesus' death and resurrection. Through holy baptism, we are incorporated into the life and death of Jesus in such a way that God sees it as if we had hung on the cross with our Lord some 2,000 years ago as he was being punished for our sins, and as we had emerged victorious from the tomb with Jesus on that first Easter morning through our baptism, and that does not logically fit into any kind of time sequence. There is no mundane, there is no common, there is no everyday explanation for that. It is simply a mystery. Likewise, science cannot tell us how it is that God imputes our sins to Christ and how his virtuous life and his innocent sufferings and death can be credited to us as righteousness in God's sight. And how would science explain the Lord's Supper? Can science demonstrate in a laboratory that in, with, and under the bread and the wine that we eat and drink, that we drink the very body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins? Or tell me rationally and scientifically how you and I can look into the casket of a loved one who dies and believe with our whole heart the words of Jesus, who says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And how can I find a satisfying scientific explanation for the great mystery of our faith, that God came to earth and united with human flesh in the birth of Jesus Christ? Now, by saying that these things are mysteries of our faith, we are not saying that Christianity is anti-intellectual, anti-academic, or illogical, or that somehow it's only for the uneducated. It is just that Christianity calls us to a different kind of spiritual wisdom and biblical logic that is different from scientific logic. For the mysteries of Christ make perfect sense to those of us who have been enlightened with a biblical faith. And yet, these truths that Christians espouse are no ordinary truths. They have a profundity about them. These great truths given to us from heaven demand both our awe and our allegiance. They are not matters to question Instead, they are sacred mysteries to ponder as we fall down on our knees. For what was once known only to God in these last days has been revealed to you and to me, to all who are to inherit salvation. In today's gospel, Jesus would speak to Nicodemus. He would speak about sacred mysteries, things that were just too wonderful for Nicodemus to grasp. If Nicodemus was going to comprehend what Jesus was saying, Nicodemus would have to be born again into a new relationship to God, a new way of thinking about God. For without God-engendered faith, God does remain a mystery that none of us can solve by ourselves. Now, Nicodemus reminds me of scientific modern man because he stumbles over the mystery of baptism, where we are baptized into the triune name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Nicodemus just could not comprehend what it was Jesus was trying to say when Jesus told him that he must be born again of water and spirit. He took the mystery out of Jesus' remarks. And somehow he crudely imagined that he must enter his mother's womb a second time as a grown man. And that seemed quite illogical to him. But what Jesus had in mind was a spiritual rebirth, a birth from the faith-creating waters of baptism. Jesus was speaking a great mystery of faith, while Nicodemus was trying to provide a naturalistic interpretation. With only human reason, unassisted by the Holy Spirit, we will never be able to penetrate the mystery of baptism. In fact, in the same way, without the aid of the Holy Spirit helping us to understand God's word and his mysteries, we are unable to understand the gospel of how we get to heaven. Without the eye-opening revelation of the Spirit of God, we think that we must earn our way to heaven. Natural man without the Spirit doesn't understand the greatest mystery of God's undeserved grace, that heaven is something that we do not earn or deserve, but it is simply a free gift given to us by a gracious God through Jesus Christ. Jesus would remind Nicodemus that the converting work of the Spirit is about as unpredictable as the wind. You can't see the wind and you can't see the Spirit or scientifically observe his presence. And yet it is he who converts us to believe in Jesus. It is a great mystery how the Spirit works through the words of the gospel we preach to convince our hearts week after week that what we ourselves are unable to do under the law, Jesus has done for us in the gospel. That the eternal death we so deserved because of our sins, Jesus has already died for in our place. My friends, you will not find this illustrated in a scientific textbook. You will not read this in the stars. You will not be able to sit under a tree and ponder on this and come to your own conclusions. Instead, God must himself reveal these mysteries as you hear or read the gospel of Jesus. These things have been hidden from the proud, and they have now been revealed to the humble. Things like the Trinity, the two natures of Christ, grace and faith and baptism, and the Lord's Supper, these are the great mysteries of our faith. For only faith given us by God can grasp these things and cling to them in life and death. These things aren't called mysteries by our religion because we don't want other people outside our small circles to know about them. but instead they are mysteries because they cannot be learned or known or believed apart from God's word. Now, several centuries before and after the time of Christ, there were popular religions in the Hellenistic Greek world known as mystery religions. These religions remained mysterious to outsiders because only the enlightened, only the initiated, only the invited were able to learn the secret rites, the sacred acts, if you will, the secret handshakes of these mystery religions. Another way in which modern religious scholars of the past two centuries have wanted to debunk Christianity was to suggest that instead of Christianity being of divine origin, that it is simply borrowed from these mystery religions. Certain liberal theologians created the hypothesis that Christianity, instead of being the revealed truth of God, borrowed from these pagan mystery religions. But you should not be troubled by that hypothesis, because there are only very superficial similarities between Christianity and these mystery cults. But because many of these mystery cults included a ceremonial washing and a sacred meal, some equated that to baptism and the Lord's Supper, and much was made about these similarities. The suggestion was that Christianity was not original with God, but borrowed from these religions. But Christianity is quite different from other mystery religions, even though we have mysteries to our faith. Mystery religions were connected to agrarian concerns, to crop production, to human fertility. Mystery religions always centered around a female goddess deity. They were concerned with sexual and sensual pleasures. None of that resembles Christianity in any way. And they were also unlike Christianity because they were private mysteries, whereas Christianity proclaims public mysteries. What I mean by that is that as Christians, we do not want to hide the truth of Christ and to keep him from others. As Christians, we do not initiate our members into some kind of secret knowledge of God that is not to be shared with others. But instead, Christians proclaim the mysteries of the faith to anyone who is willing to listen. And chief among the mysteries of the Christian faith are words from our gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son to the world to condemn it, but to save the world through him. And so we Christians proclaim the mysteries of God. We proclaim how our God became flesh, how he lived among us, how he was crucified, how he died and rose again, how he is coming again at the end of time. Christians, however, know that these mysteries remain as long as we attempt to figure God out on our own terms instead of allowing him to reveal himself. Instead of our struggling to explain away these mysteries, God wants you and I to embrace these great mysteries of our faith. For in the mystery of God revealed as Father, Son, and Spirit, our salvation is being revealed. For it is God the Father who sent God the Son to die for us. And it is God the Spirit who is the one who causes us to believe in this mystery that Christ has died for our sins and now ever lives to save those who come to him in faith. Amen. And now may the God of all peace comfort you with these great mysteries intended to bring you to his home in heaven. Amen.